said, I might lose my eye. And I said, no. You know, within, they gave me 3 weeks to come and do an operation on my eye.
Mm-hmm.
And they said there was something covering my eye. You know, if it's not removed, that I won't see.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no, that I will see.
Yeah.
A week before the operation, I went to the hospital, you know, in London, and I said, look, check my eye again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need an operation.
Mm-hmm.
And they looked at my eye, and they couldn't understand what happened to my eye.
Your eye was normal.
My eye was normal. There was,
mm-hmm.
there was the what they said cover my eye was in there, and I didn't need an operation.
And you put the cause in motion that your eye was whole and perfect, and your eye was whole and perfect. Now, why didn't you put the cause in motion
from
that your eye was
from the beginning? No, I didn't.
We don't care.
Yeah,
we don't care. We only talk about the.
Now.
Yes.
And now you said my eye is whole and perfect. I finally woke up.
Yeah.
My eyes whole. And then it was.
I said no.
Then it was. And is it still whole and perfect?
Yes.
Is it always going to be whole and perfect?
It is. I've gone several times. And my.
Is it getting better and better all the time?
I can read anything.
Yes, sir.
I can read.
You're fantastic.
The print that I couldn't read before, I can read them.
All right.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
Why did you learn to say that your eye is whole and perfect? Is that something that within you that you just came to that belief and you realize that that's important?
Well, what happened, as you said, I lost track. Because people were saying things, you know, examine my eye, oh, this and that and that and that. And I had an operation on my eye, which was supposed to correct it. And then they wanted to do another operation. This is it. That's when I said, but why? When they said, oh, I could lose my sight. And I said, I can't lose my sight. That is when I woke up.
You woke up?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's nice.
And they said, they need to do something to my eye for me to be able to see.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no.
And?
They gave me 3 weeks appointment.
Yeah.
Booked the operation and all. And I still said, I won't have an operation.
Mm-hmm. And you're driving your car and being very comfortable about everything. Mm-hmm.
And I went back and I said, look, check my eye again.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing wrong with my eye.
Mm-hmm.
And they looked at my eye and said, but we can't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
But there is nothing wrong with your eye now.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need an operation. You can go.
Mm-hmm.
Come back, you know, in 4 weeks and we'll
check it.
And I went 4 weeks, they checked it. Now I go every 4 months.
Yep.
You know, so
it's fantastic.
I lost track. Because initially this chap says, oh, there's something wrong with the eye. I refer you to this person. And then I went to this person, you know, from Luton, then I went to London and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, I didn't see why I should lose my sight. And somebody is telling me I might lose my sight.
But you put the cause in motion. You see, this is what you were doing. You were listening to what other people were saying.
Yes.
And you were saying, it's logical, it's possible, they might be right.
Yes.
But they might be wrong too.
That's it.
They're wrong if you say, I'm perfect. And they're right if you say, I got a problem. If you approve of what they're saying, and you say, that's right, I got a problem. Then we all do that. We all listen to other people, doctors included, and we listen to what they say, and we believe what they say, instead of believing what we should say.
What we say.
Even my daughter, you said, how is she sure that what he says is correct? I said, well, it needs to be
checked. Your daughter hasn't done her courses yet. That's why she's having trouble.
Yeah, she was telling me, he said, but you believe what they are saying about your
eye. Right, right.
I said, it's not a question of belief. I want them to check it, you know.
That's all.
Yeah.
And what will they say to you? It's perfect. That's what you expected, and that's what you got. You so intimidated those doctors that they couldn't see the problem anymore. I'm kidding you.
What happened is, my eye was so interesting. They took pictures of my eye before the operation and showed what is making me not to see. And of course, when I came, there was nothing It was so interesting. They took pictures
mm-hmm.
to demonstrate what will happen after they've done what they needed to do. And when I came, there was not. I came to. It was a clinic day. I came on an ordinary day, and they took me. I said, because if you wait till the day of the operation, you might need somebody else you need to operate. So I'm telling you, so that you have a chance to operate on somebody else. Yeah. I said, there is nothing wrong with my eye. That's why.
Right.
I came.
Mm-hmm.
So he went to the consultant, you know, and he looked at my eye with the telescope and all that. He said, I can't see anything in your eye. That was it.
That's all that's important.
That's it.
That's all that's important.
And come back in a month's time, maybe it will form again. And I came back and it has never formed again.
Well now, are you a good man?
I am a good man.
As a good man, should you have a good body?
Yeah.
And as a good man, should you have a good life?
I should.
No. I do.
I do have a good life.
Right. So, yeah. When you can continually affirm these affirmations yeah. that I have a good life, I have a good body, I'm a good man, then you're believing in yourself and the work that your original purity and integrity re-shines forth in your life as the original purity and integrity of perfect eyes, perfect body, perfect mind, perfect experiences, perfect everything. And that's what you want to put the cause in motion for. And when you put the cause in motion for that, then you experience that.
Yes.
Now, that's what you did.
That's
what you did. And you didn't really realize you were doing it because it was so natural for you to do. Your mind has been on these concepts now for so many years that it's just a natural thing for you to say, I'm whole and perfect. It's a natural thing for you to say, my eye is perfect. It's a natural. But somewhere you allowed yourself to have a bad attitude about yourself.
Yeah.
And that bad attitude is what brought forth this experience. And you don't need to keep it. Just because you have a bad, just because you missed, went through the stop sign, that doesn't mean you got to do it the next time. The next time you say, hey, I'm supposed to stop at stop signs. I'm supposed to stop at this and that and the other thing. And you do. But if you have in your attitude that, I always forget to stop at stop signs. I always forget. How stupid. You know, and I always forget to say I'm whole and perfect. I always forget to say every organ, action, function of my body is whole and perfect. I always forget to say, you don't say something like that. If you say things like that, you're empowering those things in your being, in your life, in your body, and you don't want that. That's not your reality. Your reality is the truth about yourself, that you're whole and perfect. And you certainly demonstrated that. And that's wonderful, but are you going to demonstrate that at all times? Yes. Now, your daughter is a jerk. Your daughter is stupid. Your daughter is dumb. Your daughter wants to have a perfect job. Your daughter wants to have a perfect house. Your daughter wants to have a perfect life. But she can't. Now, you hear your daughter say that. And so then you say to your daughter, sweetheart, you have the perfect life. You have the perfect house. You have the perfect job. You have the perfect experience. No. You have the perfect life. You have the perfect job. You have the perfect experience. You keep plowing away in that garden of truth about her. Isn't that the truth about her? It doesn't appear to be so at the moment, but it's the truth about her. And so as you keep putting that cause in motion, she experiences that experience. And when she experiences that experience, what happens to her? She out the pictures it. She lives it. But she will not have the perfect job as long as she thinks she doesn't have the perfect job. She will not have the perfect experience for herself and her family as long as she thinks she doesn't have it. But she is so much concerned about running around looking for the answer instead of finding it within herself that it's already there, that she's so perfect, she's so wonderful, she's so fantastic, that she's not stupid. She's not stupid. She's just not using the law right now. Now, you're not using it either, because in your life, she is in your world experiencing her unhappiness. And as she experiences her unhappiness in your world, you approve of it. You allow it. If she came up to you and said, Dad, I don't have my perfect job. I'm still looking. You say, sweetheart, You have your perfect job right now. You have your ideal job right now. You have, but Dad, no. You just say these things with me and you watch it reveal itself to you. You have your perfect job right now. You have your perfect experience right now. You have your perfect relationships with all the world right now. You are living in your perfect life right now. You have a perfect child. Isn't your child perfect? Oh, yes. Okay, that wasn't hard, was it? You know, you have the perfect child. You have the perfect dad. Am I your perfect dad? Yes. Well, then don't forget that. And do you think I could have an imperfect daughter? No way. You're my daughter. You're perfect. You're ideal. And is your brother ideal? And the other one ideal? My family's ideal. I am not a half-baked producer of families. I produce only the best. I produce only the number ones. And I have a perfect daughter. I have perfect sons. I have perfect grandsons. Grandchildren. My life is filled with perfection. I have a perfect house. I have a perfect body. I have perfect eyes. You notice that? You notice that? I'm wonderful. I'm fantastic. And so are you. All you have to do is believe these concepts so firmly and say them with such enthusiasm and such confidence, not overdoing it if you will, but with such confidence within yourself that your daughter will say, you know, Dad, you're right. You're right. I am good. I have my perfect job right now, and I accept it. And when she says that, it's got to open up for her to show it to her. It's got to reveal itself to her. She doesn't have to go searching for it. It'll find her. But if she can search if she wants. She can do anything she wants to do.
Yeah, but that's what I said. She can do what she wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
That she can. I mean, she's been there for 2 years. And she's doing what she likes. You know, for me, I say, you do what you want. I mean, she got a job in the NHS, but she didn't want to do it. And I say, if you don't want to do the job, don't do the job. You know, you've been surviving without a job.
Yeah.
And you say you don't like the job. So wait for the job that you like.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
That is my own attitude.
Well, you will have the job that you like if you say, I have the job that I like. Then it will be yours, revealed to you. It's already yours. It's already, whatever the perfect job for you is, it's waiting for you. It's merely the fact that you want to accept it and claim it and know it and experience it. True? Now, let's say that to her. And that's the fun of being a parent. Because being a parent, you can be like the centurion. And when I speak to my children, when I speak to my servants, when I speak to my my wife and family, they listen to me and act. And so you, like the centurion, when you speak to your family and you say, you're whole and perfect, you say, you got the perfect job. Hey, look, I got the perfect sons. I got the perfect daughter. I got the perfect family. I got the perfect grandchildren. They're fantastic. Nobody has grandchildren like mine. Nobody has grandchildren as wonderful as mine, as fantastic as mine. That's because I am a good creator. See, you're, so to speak, the centurion. You're the one who can speak your word and have it be realized, but you have to believe in yourself. You have to believe in yourself, as you have done with your eye and so forth. You have such confidence there. Have that same confidence in all with your family. It's not a big deal that your daughter has the job that satisfies her or doesn't. The people in this world go hundreds of years. They go through 40, 50 years doing a job they hate, you know.
Yes.
And that's because of one thing. They didn't put the cause in motion for their perfect job. They felt they were no better than the job that they were doing.
They have to go hungry without a job.
Yeah, yeah, well, that's right. And they're worried about that. And that's a shame because they don't have to do that. They don't have to. They can always go home to Papa, you know. No, they don't have to do that. All
she is home.
Hmm?
I said she is home.
I know. She is home with Papa already.
She is home.
Yeah. And but the point is, you don't want her in the house as a person who is dependent on you. You want her in your house as your daughter and your loving daughter and doing whatever she's doing, but she doesn't need you, she doesn't want you, she doesn't have to have you, but she just enjoys you. But if she is in that house because she can't make it on her own, because she can't be happy on her own, that you got to be there to take care of the grandkid or make sure this is taken care of, that, then that's not a happy situation. The happy situation is
not
when...
Not for her, but for me, it doesn't matter.
Well,
for me, I'm quite happy that she's there and your grandson...
Now, just
grandson
a minute.
Yeah.
You are not happy with her there. You are not happy with your grandchild there. You are not happy with anybody in your house who is not expressing exactly what you are expressing. You are expressing self-confidence. You are expressing self-awareness of your healing. You are expressing the concept that everyone has their ideal job. Everyone has their ideal relationships. Everybody is happy. Everybody is rich. Everybody is healthy. That's your concept. Now, and she must experience that for herself. Now, it's not that she is a sick lady, not that she's got problems, kazoo, but she is not happy with her job. And it's not a big deal, but it's a big deal for her. She's not happy. And so long as she's not happy with her job, then she is not happy with herself. And when she's not happy with herself, that's going to rub off on her son. That's going to rub off on you. That's going to rub off on the brothers. That's going to rub off on everybody. That's going to be the charisma of your house. Your house is going to be of a half loser, half winner. But your daughter is a fabulous lady. Your daughter is a girl who's got everything going for her. Your daughter is very charming, very beautiful, very handsome, very excellent in every way. But your daughter has a problem. She lies. And her lie is, I don't have a job that I like. And until she says to herself, telling the truth, I have my ideal job.
Yeah.
Telling the truth, I have my... When she starts saying, I have my ideal job, you'll see a totally different girl. Totally different girl, because she will now be saying to the world, I like me. She would now be saying to the girl, I'm happy in this world. And who knows, the job she's in might even open up in some other way that causes her to use her talents in a way that makes her happy. And that could be. Who knows? We don't say where the perfect expression of her life is. We just say she has it now. And when you stand forth strongly, firmly wearing of this, that she has a perfect job now, she'll have it. You see, Chrissy, she's a brilliant lady. And Chrissy was called into her supervisor's office, or she got called the supervisor. She wanted to discuss some ideas. And the supervisor said, Chrissy, you're brilliant. Chrissy, you are an outstanding girl. Chrissy, you understand these things that I'm working with that are confusing me because I'm new in the department. And thank you so much for enlightening me on these things. You know, not being intelligent for me, but just saying what I needed to hear about it to make me feel confident in it. And Chrissy says, you are brilliant. And the lady says, and you are brilliant. You see, this is the whole picture. Chrissy didn't believe in herself. She didn't have that self-confidence that she should have had, that belief in herself. And then when she went into her supervisor's office, the supervisor said things to her that made her feel very wonderful, and several other people that she met. Now, that only happened because Chrissy, before she walked in the office, she said, I am in my ideal position now. I have my ideal job now. I am working in my ideal place now. I am doing everything in its perfect way, and lots of other affirmations. And she is saying these things and building it in her consciousness and living it and experiencing it. That's what it's all about. And the same with Sybil here. She's doing the same thing everywhere in her life. She's building up in her consciousness the idea that all is in divine order. And when she does that, then all is in divine order, and all is wonderful. And this is what life is all about, isn't it?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is...
You want to get a word in edgewise there?
Hmm?
You want to get a word in edgewise?
No. It's a more or less an expansion.
Yes, good.
What you're saying.
Good, I appreciate that.
That's... There's the consciousness of somebody else who is capable of deciding what she needs to do. All right?
Go ahead.
The person has all the tools to do what she wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
And she thinks she is doing it in her own way. I feel that accept whatever she's doing in her own way. All right?
Do you really mean that?
That's it.
Or do you mean that she now has her ideal job and she is happy in it? You see, if you say she is content because she's got the job or because she's there, and that she should really accept the fact that she has what's best for her right now, you're not saying her
no, I'm
perfect
saying
job
that she
is.
She has the consciousness to know what is best for her.
Oh, but you see, that's where I disagree. You don't have the consciousness to know what's best for you. You have the consciousness to go in the direction that's good for you, but you don't have the consciousness to know that this particular job is the one that's going to really be satisfying to you. I now have my ideal job. What the hell is my ideal job? Where's my ideal job? Where am I in staying with the same company? Am I going somewhere else? What is my ideal job? What do I really want to be? Do I want to be a bookkeeper? Do I want to be an accountant? Do I want to be an artist? Well, what do I want to be? I don't even know, you know. And so when you say, I have my ideal job right now, my ideal employment right now, my ideal profession right now, then you let yourself open to opportunities that move you into expressing in ways that you never dreamed about expressing, and that show you that you have an interest and talent in areas that you had not dreamed of going. And that's exciting. And that's, I think, where Ija can do. She can get into those areas that she's really excited about, get into those areas that she's really dreaming about for herself, and have all sorts of grand experiences.
Yeah, but I still say that people's attitude to a job, you know, is different. You know, there is no job that you say is the best or the worst job. It is the person's attitude to the job. You know, let's say...
In other words, you can't say, I have my ideal job now.
What Herb is telling us is, your daughter is in your world.
Yes.
What is your creation for her? What cause are you setting in motion on her behalf?
Yeah.
For both of you, yourself and her?
The cause I set in motion is that she should create her ideal job.
Yes.
What cause you put in motion is that she has her ideal job now.
Yes.
Not that she should get it, because that means she doesn't have it.
All right. That she
has her
ideal
job.
Okay. Let's do it this way, that whatever job she has
is the ideal
one.
Job.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. That for me, if she is happy to be home, all right, and she's going about her business, and she's happy, then she has the ideal job for her. She got a job she applied for, and eventually she didn't want to do the job. And I say, if you don't want to do it, don't do the job. You know, so it's a question. The ideal job in my own is not one particular job. It's whatever she wants to do.
And that's right.
Whatever she wants to do is all right by me.
Not what she wants to do.
Yeah.
It's what her ideal is. Whoops! Did that chair fall apart?
Oh my,
my goodness sake.
Oh my God.
Sorry.
Yeah.
What happened? The, chair, the legs of the chair bent up. The legs of the chair bent up. don't give him that one. Give him that other one over there. No, this is my... That chair didn't take to your bending there. Now, if we ever want to bend the legs of the chair, we'll call on you. But the thing that we have to say is, you don't know what will make her happy. She doesn't know what's going to make her happy, but she thinks she knows what makes her happy. And what you want to do is have her ideal job, which makes her happy.
Yeah.
And we don't know what it is, so we call it the ideal job.
She doesn't know that. No,
yeah, that's right. She doesn't.
And where does she find it?
Where does she find it?
No.
Yeah.
In
she
her
finds
consciousness.
You, she finds it as you find it because you have created her to be in your world. So whatever you see, she is seeing through you. She sees it that way. So what you do is to see it on her behalf and for yourself, eventually she will wake up to that reality.
Yes. Yeah,
she will wake up to realize that, yes, my daddy is right. I have my ideal job. Because first of all, you knew it. You understood it. And you...
You didn't know what it was, but you knew she had the ideal job that was for making her happy.
Yeah, I don't know the ideal job that would make her
happy. No, you don't know, but you say she has the ideal job. If you knew what the ideal job was, you'd be quite something.
Yes.
But the thing is, does consciousness know what the ideal job is?
Well, maybe that's what she's finding. Because she's got a job and she didn't want to do it. So probably she's looking for a job that she wants to do.
Well, if you say she's looking for a job, you're saying that she's not content where she is, which of course is what you're saying, and that she wants to have the job that satisfies her.
Yes.
And so you won't know what it is. She won't know what it
is. I want her to have a job that satisfies her.
Your ideal job, simple.
Yeah.
You say she has it now.
And that's it.
You say she has it now, regardless of the appearances, because you're putting a cause in motion in consciousness to bring this thing about.
All right.
It works.
Just simple. You have your ideal job now.
We fight it so much.
Yeah, because I think that, as of now, she's quite happy with herself, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I want. She's going about her business, you know. She's no bother to me, you know. She buys her things, does her, goes where she wants. And so I think that I don't know what job she wants.
She doesn't either.
Yeah,
but she wants her ideal job.
Yeah,
she wants something that is going to take her energies, take her enthusiasm, take her genius, and use it to the highest.
Yeah, she's trying to find it, and I don't interfere. That's it.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
You have the yam or potato, you have the knife. All you have to do is to do the affirmation, and it's done. Simple.
Yeah. What will she do herself?
Just say, you have your...
She doesn't have to do anything.
Huh?
You do it.
Yeah.
You see her having her perfect job right now, and that's end.
That's all.
That's the end. You don't say anything to her. You don't say anything to yourself. You just say to yourself, I see her having her perfect job right now. She has her perfect job. Now, you don't know how it's going to be revealed to her, but you put the cause in motion to get the vibrations going harmoniously on that, and she wants the perfect job. Does she want the perfect job?
Yes.
And she wants the perfect job.
Be your creation. She is very receptive to whatever you are saying on her behalf. And that's why you have to be focused on what, one-pointed on what you are saying for her. She now has her perfect job, period. Now is the only time there is.
Yeah.
Now.
Well,
because if you say it's so, you have set a cause in motion on her behalf. She doesn't have to know about it. She doesn't have to know that you are saying something on her behalf. You have your patients, when they were coming to you, you just tell them what to do, and they go about doing it.
Yes.
You don't ask them, do you want to do it? Is it the best thing for you to do? You just know that what you are telling them is the best for them, and they go about doing it, and it works. Now, this is very close to you, very open and receptive to you, that whatever you say on her behalf works out, because she's ready to say yes, yes, yes.
She's one with your consciousness.
She doesn't have to know you are doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to argue it, because you have to be focused. This is what you want to succeed. You want it to happen. So you see it happening already. It's already done. It's for you to accept it. As you accept it, she will accept it.
Yeah.
Now, you don't do this. You could do this. But mothers and fathers oftentimes do this with their children. When the children go to sleep at night, they go into their room and they sit by their bedside and they hold their hand, the kids sound asleep, and they say, "You are the most wonderful child in the world. You're always behaving, you're always being an enjoyable child, you're being a child that I'm so proud of and everything, you know, and you are doing excellent in school. School is the most fun thing in the world. You're just having the greatest time in your life at school. School is so great, it's so wonderful." And they were having difficulties. And school is so the mother and or father do this every night for a couple of days or a week or a month. And as they do this, every single day the child goes to school. School is easier. Every single day the child says, "Mommy, can I help you with something?" You know? And every single day the child is more cooperative and more loving and more gentle. And you're not training the brainwash the kid. You're just putting thoughts in their consciousness that they want. And the thoughts that they want are that they are successful, beautiful, and fantastic kids. And this is what you're doing with your daughter. You're saying, she now has her perfect job. And don't fight it. Because if you fight it, then you're doing her no good, nor yourself. And if you say, "My daughter has a perfect..." Now, Chrissy, you always drive perfectly. You always drive perfectly. You always drive perfectly. You are a professional chauffeur, Chrissy. Now, she's not a professional chauffeur. A long way from it. I drive down the road and I say, I'm a professional chauffeur. I drive like a professional chauffeur and I drive beautifully. And next thing I know, I'm doing everything so harmoniously in my driving, so harmoniously as I'm doing these things. And I say this to Chrissy as I ride with her. I say, "Chrissy, you are a professional chauffeur." As I say this to her, she drives more and more beautifully all the time. She just drives with dignity, with charm. She doesn't cut people off. She doesn't jump into the lanes too late, you know. And she always knows ahead of time. She thinks ahead of time. She stops talking sometimes, you know. And she thinks ahead of time of where she's going, what she wants to do. And she's doing it. Now, when I'm with her, she drives so beautifully. So wonderfully, because I'm saying, "Chrissy, you're the ideal chauffeur. You're the ideal chauffeur." Sometimes Ellen always wants me to drive, and so I drive the car, and to me, driving is second nature, and I don't think a thing about it. And so Ellen sometimes, you know, I say, "Ellen, what are you doing?" She says, "Well, these cars are coming kind of close and this and that." I say, "Ellen, am I doing everything right?" "Yes." "Well, then don't worry about other people. Just be concerned that we're doing everything right." And I say, "Ellen, look at me or the scenery instead of at the road, because you're not driving. If you're going to drive, why should I? I'll sit back and read a book, you know, and I'll let you drive. But the thing is, I say, "Ellen, I am the ideal chauffeur." And then she starts meditating on that. And next thing you know, she's sitting there just as relaxed and peaceful, taking advantage of riding with an ideal chauffeur. Now, your daughter has her ideal job right now. Right now. Yes. She may not be expressing it. The job she's working in is not bad. It's not an evil job. It's not a hateful job or anything. It just is not satisfying to her. It doesn't use her talents that she thinks she'd like to use. So she says, "I have my ideal job." Now, her ideal job may be revealed in that very company on some other level, on some other area, or that her ideal job may be at some other company. Or her ideal job may be finding a proper man to marry who is going to be rich enough to take care of all her needs, and she doesn't have to have a job, and she could just go do whatever she wants to do. Be the kind of creative person she wants to be. Now, it's up to her to make her decision. But the thing is, her decision is she now has her perfect job. But you make it for her, because you're creating her. You created your daughter in the first step and second step, and now you're creating her having her perfect job. And when you create her having her perfect job, she'll have it. You listen to the tapes that we've done so far on this seminar, and you'll be quite happy that they're on the subjects that are close to your heart. And they're talking just about these things of being the master of yourself and putting in motion the things that are making you happy, the things that are revealing to you what you want. But if you're going to fight, and you are fighting, if you're going to fight the principle and say, but I got to have it my way, and my way hasn't worked so far, but I have to have it my way, you're not going to be happy. You're not going to be happy with yourself or anything else, and your daughter's not going to be helped one little whit by you. Your daughter will be helped by me, because I see her having her perfect job. She called, we talked on the phone about it the other day, and I told her that. I said, you have your perfect job, you have your perfect circumstances, everything is in ideal, divine right order. And now she's got to keep saying that for herself to benefit it, or you do it. Now, you say, well, you mean she doesn't have to do it? Well, if she does it, that's good, that's best. But you are her creator. You created her in your world. So in your world, she's got her ideal job. In your world, she's a beautiful daughter. In your world, she's the creator of a beautiful grandchild. In your world, she is fantastic. In your world, and there is no other world. The only world she'll ever evidence to you, ever show to you, is your world. You look at her and you see her wearing her red dress. But in her world, she might be doing something quite different. It might be her cocktail dress or something else with a whole different name than you give it. But in your world, she's just a glorious, lovely, beautiful being. Now, what you want for her is that she has her ideal body, her ideal mind, her ideal world, her ideal children, her ideal relationships, her ideal family, her ideal job. I mentioned job last because that's the least really important. But when she does that, when you do that, by seeing her have that, she'll have it. And she'll have it right now, because it's done. It is done. And all you want to do is to help her to be aware that it's done by every time you look at her and she says, Daddy, I'm just not too happy there. Well, you now have your perfect job. You now have your ideal job. She knows that language, and she's comfortable with it. So you just say, you now have your ideal job. But, Patty, I don't have my ideal job. Just say you do, and let it happen. Say you do. You want to go to the movie tonight? Yes. And the car doesn't work? Okay. You want to go to the movie? Then you just say, I'm going to the movie tonight. So, lo and behold, your girlfriend calls up and says, I'm going to the movie tonight. You want to come too? I'd like to have somebody go with me. Yes, I'd just love to do that. Sure, pick me up. Oh, can't you pick me up? No, my car is being fixed. Oh, sure, I'll pick you up. Glad to. And so, how could she have known that her girlfriend would call and ask her to go to the very movie that she wants to go to? But that's how it happens, by putting the cause in motion. I now have my ideal job. I now have my ideal relationships. I now have my ideal family. You wouldn't contest that. I now have my ideal child. Super kid, right? Isn't that a super grandkid?
Yes.
Yo, ho, 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 you betcha. Only the best. I now have my super grandchild, And you see, when you start saying now, and you start putting all those phrases to work in the now, they happen. But if you fight it, if you say, but, and if you say, according to my understanding, that doesn't work, that's the principle that doesn't function that way, well then, that's okay, it won't function that way for you.
No, it's not a question of but. What I was saying is, the way I understand the principle is that you let the person do what the person likes to do. You accept what the person is doing.
No, never.
Well,
everything that happens in my life I call good, even if it was bad. I call it good. I may not see how that good is there, but I call it good. Because any time I say, I will just accept whatever happens and I'll go along with whatever happens and I'll just tolerate anything that happens, I'm not the master. I'm not in charge. I'm in charge only when I say, I'm in charge. I'm in charge only when I say, all is in divine order. I'm in charge only when I recognize that in my world, I'm the creator. In my world, everything happens because I put a cause in motion. Now, if I have been relaxed or irresponsible in putting things in motion that I don't want to happen, and then they happen, and then I say, it's not my fault, it is too. You put the cause in motion. You acted that way, And it's the use of the principle, the use of the law of cause and effect, the use of these things that we're learning is so simple, but yet so demanding. And it's demanding only insofar as if you're going to put your car in reverse, it's going to go in reverse. If you put your car in forward, it's going to go forward. So with the law, if you put the law in motion for a positive thing, it's going to give you a positive. If you put it for a negative thing, it'll give you a negative thing, because it doesn't judge. And you certainly are not going to tolerate the negative unless you are not thinking about it very well. But you're going to say, all is in divine order. All is in divine order. All is in divine order. And even if I'm going the wrong direction, all is in divine order. And you might say, whoops, I put the car in reverse and I started going backward, and all is in divine order. I stopped. But then I found out that I had a leak in my engine. There was some oil dripping out there. And so I didn't see it until I went backwards. I was going to go forward. I would have missed it, you know. So I backed up and I saw it. And so I opened up the hood and I saw a problem. So I took care of the problem, whatever I had to do. And otherwise I might have driven the car without proper oil and I might have burned up the engine, and who knows what might have happened. But of course you don't put all that cost in motion. But the thing is, there you might say, nothing happens by chance. And truly it doesn't. But you always drive properly. You are the ideal chauffeur. You have the ideal family. You're the ideal father. And you speak on behalf of your children. You say, I have ideal children. And my daughter has her ideal job night right now. Whatever it may be, you don't care. And your sons are all thoughtful and loving and caring. They're all courteous and kind. They're all super boys, super kids in my family. Just so wonderful. They do everything that makes me so happy, you know. And sometimes I don't even understand what they're doing that makes me happy. But they do everything that makes me happy because they're being themselves and having fun. And I respect them, and I respect that because I created them that way. I created them to go out and be entrepreneurs. I created them to go out and be imaginative beings and to take on things where angels fear to tread. And they walk well where angels fear to tread because I trained them by my experiences in my life and my world. My sons are a beautiful representation of myself. My daughter is a beautiful representation of myself. My world is a beautiful representation of myself. Absolutely fantastic. Nothing else matters. And you see, when you say, my daughter has her ideal job right now, you're putting that cause in motion in the infinite consciousness, and you're getting that result. And it's now that it's happening. Not tomorrow. Not some other future time, but right now. And is she a beautiful girl? Yes. Is she talented? Yes. Is she desirable? Yes. Is she competent? Yes. Does she do any job she does with aplomb, with courtesy, with genius, with magic about her? Yes. Is she a charismatic girl? Oh my, yes. Does everyone who meet her, are they turned on by her magic, by her flow and her goodness? Yes. Very much so. Just like with Chrissy here, and just like with Seville. People look at Chrissy or Seville or together or apart, and they say, there's something about you that's very special. Something about you that's very magical, very marvelous, and something about you that just makes me feel, wow, life is wonderful. Your daughter is fantastic, you know that. And your daughter is always fantastic and always will be fantastic as long as you allow it to be. If you doubt your daughter, and you say, I'm not doubting my daughter. Yes, you are. You're doubting that your daughter is tuned in to the divine and tuned in to the magical touch of all things good happening to her. Does everything in your daughter's life, does it happen and is it good? Does everything your daughter do, is it good? Is your daughter always the most fulfilled, beautiful person? Or is she sometimes an Indian who's out there trying to do the war party? But you say, okay, I understand that. I did the same thing, you know? How many times did, when I was her age, did I go running around doing stupid things, And you did. And how many times when I was the age of my boys before and now, did I go and do the silly things that they did, and maybe in a different way, but I did them. And I went out and I was myself, and I didn't need anybody else to guide me or to show me the way. I was walking my own path, and I was great. This is what we do. But we forget that. We forget that. And it's wonderful. Now, I see my son, he's 52 now, I see him doing things that I would have never dreamed about doing, and he's fantastic, and he does things that are so unique and so wonderful and so magical. I think to myself, did I really do things like that when I was his age, Was I really that much of an outgoing, fantastic, competent, capable person like he? And the answer was yes. Now, I did it differently. I had different responses to life and different responses to things I did, but it was the same attitude, the free spirit. Because I'm a free spirit right now. And here I am, 25. I'm a free spirit and I'm doing all the things that make me happy. And you know what I've just decided that Chrissy's going to do? You know what I've decided that she's going to do? She's going to put a little elevator in here going up and down between your second floor and the first floor. They're very inexpensive. She can buy an inexpensive lift that she can put in there. And then she could live here and go up and down so easily, so beautifully. But have you ever walked up these stairs? I doubt that you have. If you walk up these stairs, you'll have enough exercise for the day. And then she taught me how to walk up the stairs. She said, you walk sideways. You put your feet sideways on the steps because they don't fit this way. Because it's only about 4 inches there. So you put your feet sideways on the step, and then you move your feet, and you lean your back against the wall and slide up the wall. And it's nice and smooth. And then when you come down, you do the same thing. And it's only about a third the amount of exercise of doing it the other way. But when you do it the other way, and then you look around, you say, am I balanced here? Am I crazy? And I better not lean that direction. I might go down the stairs without planning on it. But you see, it's so wonderful. It's so wonderful when you just let... Now, if Chrissy never puts the elevator in my mind, it's there already. In my mind, it's right here at this end of the hall, and that has now become a big closet, a wonderful place for storage, and here is her elevator going up to the lift. And there are a couple thousand dollars or whatever it is, but it's fantastic. Fantastic. Now, she could do it and enjoy it, but she would say, I don't get my exercise.
Yeah.
And it's her house.
Yeah.
It's her house, and so I say, whatever she does is okay. But the thing is, I visualize that for me, it's in there already. For me, she has that lift there already, and I see it there. I had a 91-year-old lady, and she loved to live upstairs, and she loved to be on the second floor. And I said, well, you really should have a lift going up, because you're 91, and you are in good shape, but the thing is, you should have the lift. And so she said, well, how should I put it? Should I have it roll up the staircase like this, or should I have it go straight up or something? I said, have it go straight up. Have it go straight up. It's the cheapest, the easiest. You lift straight up. You open the gate here and step out. And when you come down, you open the gate and step out. And it's no more than just a little gate around you. You're not a big walls thing. And it's so convenient, so wonderful. But you do what makes you happy. You do what makes you feel wonderful. And, of course, Chrissy's problem, and Chrissy has a major problem here, her problem is that she is getting younger every day. And as she returns to her teenage attitudes, she will be jumping up and down the stairs like Ibube. Ibube dances up and down those stairs like they're nothing, And he likes to curl around the corner like a snake and look out here and look out there and just sort of having a great old time. But this is what we sometimes forget, that our youngsters, our children, are more fantastic than we realize, because they do things that are utterly amazing when we don't realize it, and they can do even more things. Now, have you ever thought of going down to visit Christy, your daughter at her job? Have you ever thought of going down to her office and see what she's doing and be introduced to her employer and her staff? and see how they're doing there, and show your goodwill toward them. And who knows, the boss might say, "Well, sir, we would like to have you come and work for us. Will you take over our clinic, you know, here? And would you operate our clinic and come in here one day a week, you know? And we'll pay you $30,000 a week to do this. Would you do that?" And you say, "Well, make it 32. But no, you don't want to tie yourself to anything. You're free and footloose and fancy, and you can do whatever you want. Your daughter is doing her thing, and she wants to do her thing, but she wants to... I will advise you, and you may tell me to go jump in the lake, and that's perfectly okay. But I will advise you to look at your daughter right now, and I respect her and love her very much, but look at your daughter and realize her age, and realize what you were doing when you were her age, how many jobs you went to, how many experiences you had, how many times you shifted between one place and another, perhaps because you're a professional person, you didn't do that so often, but normally, people who are in the commercial field, they switch from jobs every 2 years or even less, but every couple of years they switch, not because they want a better job, but because they have learned everything that that job location seemed to be able to give them. And they want to go into another experience, and they go. And sometimes it's a good move, and sometimes it's not. But you can know that she has her ideal professional workspace right now, and she is there. And she is appreciated, and she is respected, and her talents are used in great measure, and wonderfully so. Does that make any sense to you?
It does.
Well, then keep it, and use it. It's so functional, and it's so beautiful, it works so wonderfully, but it is something that if we fight it, we erase all of the benefit of it to us. And if we don't fight it, now look, you're a good girl, you're a good girl, you're a good girl. "Oh, Daddy, shut up. You're a good girl, you're a good girl, you're a good girl. Oh, Daddy, you're always saying that. You're a good girl, you're a good girl, you're a good girl. Oh, Daddy, why are you always pushing me like that? Why are you always saying that? You're a good girl, you're a good girl, you're my daughter. You're a good girl, you're a good girl." And so, ultimately, she'll stop fighting me. And when she stops fighting me, she'll start being that good girl more than she ever dreamed that she would. And when she starts being that good girl, you know what she's going to start doing? She's going to start being very, very happy. Because she's going to say, "Daddy, you tell me I'm a good girl. What can I do to be even a gooder girl?" And I say, "Well, you go ask your mom. Ask your mom what you can do to help her to do things around the house." "Oh, Daddy, that's so ordinary. Can I go ask the neighbor next door and I get paid for it?" And I say, "Sure, go ahead. Ask the neighbor next door and get paid for it. And see what you have to do for what money you get. You'll find that working for your mom is much more rewarding. Because your mom is going to appreciate you much, much more than any neighbor ever could appreciate you. Because your mom loves you just the way you are. She's not going to expect you to do things that the neighbor is expecting you to do things." "But I'm not really abud," you see. And then you realize, "Hey, I do these things at home. I don't have to. I'm doing them because I'm happy doing it. And when I'm doing it because I'm happy doing it, then what happens? Then everything in my heart is just at ease, at peace. And everything I do is good. I would never let people compliment me on work that I did around the house. I'd never let them. My job was to clean the basement. My job was to shovel the coal in the furnace. My job was to clean the sidewalks when the snow was on it in the winter in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. My job was to take care of all those things that were there. My job was to take care of the lawn and mow it and to rake it, the leaves off and things like that. And I was 12 years old, 11, 12 years old, and that was my job. And I did my job, but I always did my job when nobody was around. I wanted to make it perfect and I didn't want anyone to see how perfect I made it, because I even got down and cleaned up the corners. And I, when the coal bin was empty, when we had taken all the coal out, I'd get all the coal out of there and get it in a basket, and the last little bit, and I'd clean the coal bin. I cleaned the coal bin, you know? How many people ever clean a coal bin? Well, I did. We had the sparkliest house basement in the whole city, and it was wonderful. But I had to do it for me. I did it for me. I shoveled the sidewalks with the snow right to the edge of the walk, you know, just so perfectly, because it was my nature. It was what I taught myself to do. And when I worked for the neighbor lady and was cleaning her houses for her, 50 cents a week to do it, you know. And what I did, I learned how to clean the tile and clean the grout in the tile. She had a lot of grout. See, we bought her old farmhouse, and she built a new house right next door to it. But her new house was quite nice. But it was lived in for a while before she had me helping her clean it up. And she would teach me how to polish her tables. And her tables had those fluted legs on it, you know, out of wood and heavy things. Oh, my goodness. And I had to polish that. And I had to polish everything to get all the dust off and get all these things off and vacuum it. And when her husband died, I went into his bedroom because he called me in. And he had me sit down, and he talked to me. And he says, Herb, or Junior, he called me. He says, I'm going to die. And I said, yeah, I understand you're going to die. I mean, it didn't mean anything to me, because I'd only known one or two people who died, and I wasn't with them at the time. But he said, I'm going to die. And he says, you know, my sons and my daughter and my wife, they are so busy taking care of the details, they're not up here talking to me. And will you tell them? Well, I tell them that I love them. And I'm just so happy with them. They're so wonderful. They are so powerful in my life that I really am so happy. And I said, sure, glad to. You tell them this. You tell them that everything's okay, that I've died now, and that I'm okay, but it's okay. And I said, sure, I'll tell them. And so I was sitting there, and he died, and, you know, drifted away. And then his wife came in. What are you doing in here? What are you doing in here, Junior? Get out of here. And I said, well, I just talked to your husband, and he told me that he was very happy with all of you, and he loved all of you, and that he was going to die now. And that I should tell you that he thought you were a wonderful family, and he loves the children, and so forth and so on. And she said, he did? What else did he say? What else did he say? Well, that's really all he had time to say. But you see, because I was willing to give my best wherever I went and in anything that I did, I had these super experiences. The man on the other side of our house, he was in his house, and he was dying for some illness or other, and he was dying over a year long, you know. And so I would come to visit him every day after school. I'd come up to his room and sit and talk to him for about 10 minutes and be, you know, just a friendly little voice. I was a little kid. And so he said to me, he says, you know, you deserve everything good in life. I said, well, thank you. And he says, I'm going to give you my Hubmobile. That's a car, a Hubmobile car. It was up on blocks in the garage because he hadn't driven it for a long time. And I said, well, thank you. And he said, I'm giving it to you right now. And he told his wife, I just gave Herbie the Hubmobile. And she said, that's nice, you know, because she had no interest in it. And so I would take all my friends, and we'd sit in the Hubmobile out there, and we were driving along, you know, up on blocks. But it was a wonderful experience. But you see, these are things that happen to us when we just let go. Who could have ever dreamed that I, at the age of 11, would have a Hubmobile, you know? Who would ever dream that? And who would ever dream that I would be sitting in with my neighbor who was dying and have him tell me his death rattle, you know, so that I could tell his family about it? And who would ever dream? And how would I ever dream about it? How would I ever think about these things? I just always said, whatever is for my highest and my best, whatever is for the best for me is what happens. And that's what happened. That's what happened so many times. So many times. Life is just filled with so many joyous adventures if I just let go and let them happen. And I do let go and let them happen. I do let go and let these things experience in my life. And you do too. If you were to tell us all the stories of the adventures you had, like I just told a couple here, you could outdo me by a dozen to one, because your life has been filled with dealing with people who are having dramatic experiences in their life, like having children, and dramatic experiences in their life, like trying to keep a marriage together with a child that was just stillborn or something like that. And that's tough, because everybody thinks, I did something wrong. I did something wrong. And you, with your wisdom and with your spiritual illumination, you tell these people, hey, that had nothing to do with you. It actually did. But that has nothing to do with you. All that you want to do now is say, I am the ideal father. I am the ideal father, and I have ideal children. And this child went its way. It came and did whatever it wanted to do in its short time, and it didn't even come out alive. And so it was stillborn, and we release it and let it go, and now we're ready for the real thing.
Another one.
Right, another one. And always get another puppy when you lose one, you know. Okay. So it's tough, and it's hard to say these things to people, but as you do say them to them, you are using the universal principle, the universal law that says whatever the consciousness is ready for, whatever the consciousness can handle, and your consciousness can handle many terrific and wonderful things, the most of which is that your consciousness can handle that you know that you are the master of your world, and that whatever takes place in your world, you have put a cause in motion that has brought that about, and that cause in motion was the cause that says, my daughter has her perfect job. That cause in motion was, I have the ideal grandchildren. That cause in motion, I have the ideal sons. That cause in motion, which isn't hard, I have the ideal daughter. Now, did you have the ideal wife?
I have the ideal wife.
Ooh, pardon moi. Yes, that's right. I have the ideal wife.
Yeah.
I have the ideal wife. Now, that's true. Now, do you have the ideal daughter, the ideal sons, the ideal grandchildren? Do you have the ideal home? Do you have the ideal car or cars? Do you have the ideal property that you own around and that you manage or whatever you want to do with it? Do you have the ideal friends?
Sometimes they don't look ideal.
Sometimes they're challenging.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're a little challenging. But you see, if you say, I have the ideal property I manage, then the challenge goes away, and you merely say, now, how can I make this a paying proposition instead of a debting proposition? You know, how can I handle this so that it works out in harmony rather than works out with an unhappy situation?
Mm-hmm.
And you can.
No, it does work out. Work out with change of attitude. I was just telling you
what happened. He said, it does work out.
It does work
and
out.
And yet he says, well, you know, it's a little challenging. Well, would you like to play chess with anybody and always win or always lose? You like a little challenge in there. And when you play golf, do you always want to win or you always want to lose? And who likes to play with a person who wins all the time?
All the time.
Yeah, I mean, that's no fun. You don't leave latitude for me, you know. And so this is the in your property management. And the challenges merely show you that you're playing the game with magic and with imagination. And you can do that.
No, I'm doing that.
In real life.
Yes.
And I mean real life.
Yeah.
I don't mean any of these things were not real life.
No, I'm doing that now.
Oh, you're doing that.
Yeah.
I see, I heard it as in real life.
Yeah.
Yes, you're doing that. And yes, that's true. That's your nature, isn't it?
I have challenging situations.
That's your...
My agents don't... Mm-hmm. They have other solutions.
Mm-hmm.
Like going to a court and that. And I said no. The tenant will go. You don't need to go to court. And the tenant will go peacefully.
Mm-hmm. All's in divine order.
Yes.
All's in divine order. Now, how can you say all is in divine order? You have no right to think that all is in divine order. All you got is problems right now, and it's not in divine order right now, and it's not working out in divine order. How can you say it's in divine order? Because you're talking about the principle. Because you're talking about the ideal. All is in ideal order. All is in divine order. My daughter has her ideal job. Her ideal profession, her ideal business. And so you don't know how that happens. You don't know how the divine order is going to put the condition together where the tenant wasn't paying his rent or where the other thing. Just say, all is in divine order, and know that all is in divine order. And when you know that all is in divine order, then all of a sudden the tenant's uncle dies and leaves them enough money for them to bring all of their rent current and bring all of the responsibilities current, and they don't even have to move, and you don't have to do anything. You don't know what it's going to be. You don't know what the answer is going to be, but you say all is in divine order, and let it be in divine order. Exciting, isn't it?
And the council decides to pay me back rent.
Fine. You know, that's fine. They take all their responsibilities.
They decide to pay me back rent, even though I didn't ask for it. The tenants are gone.
All is in divine order.
But you know, when you allowed him to not pay the rent, you were saying to him, you don't really owe this to us. We realize that you're going through a tough experience right now, and we're not hurting for money, so you don't owe this to us, so we're going to let you have free rent for a period of time. Now, don't make it too long, but get back on your feet, and we show confidence and belief in you. Now, you take care of your side of the game, you know. Now, that's what you're saying by letting him not pay his rent, because you don't help him by not paying his rent, because if he has a clause in the thing that he has paid a month in advance, then okay, you have 1 month to vacate the property because or pay the rent. And so then that's it. And then you know they go quietly, or you know they stay, or you know that they stay and have an improvement in their job situation where they can pay it. And so, you see, these are all just things that we put the thought in motion. We put the cause in motion, and it functions so beautifully and so wonderfully. We really are so blessed in every way with all the things that we're doing.
It's a constancy of application.
Yes?
The constancy of application. That it has to be applied all the time. All the time.
Is that how you guide your life? By the constant application?
That's the idea where I would like to.
No. You can say I do. You can say I do.
Yeah.
Because what you have done in the past doesn't count. It only counts what you do right now.
Yeah.
Are you doing it now?
Yes.
Are you mentally doing it? Okay, then that's the way you do it. So that's the ideal. Are you the ideal man?
I am.
Thank you, sir. And do you have the ideal family?
I do.
Do you have the ideal friends and me and Chrissy and Sybil here? Mm-hmm. And are we the most wonderful people in the world?
Yes, you are.
Are we the absolute geniuses that walked on the face of the earth? A perfect reflection of you? Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah? Are we happy in every way?
We are.
Are we whole and perfect? Are we wealthy? Are we healthy? Are we happy? Are we surrounded by friends and everything in divine? Is that okay with you?
Yes.
Am I speaking okay for you too?
Yes.
Yeah, do all the speaking.
Yes. Well, that's the way it works. That's the way it works. And it is absolutely fantastic. Let's take a half second pause here.